But I want to talk to you today about the opportunities that we have, and particularly the opportunity we have today. How many know today is a different day than normal? Hey, Shayla, if you could get those pictures, I forgot to give them to them. If they can get those ready, that'd be great. But we how many know we have a opportunities will present themselves. You know, I don't know if you know this, but this week or on the 25th, what day was that? The 25th, was that this week? What day was that? Wednesday. So if Wednesday morning you would have bought American Airlines, you could have bought American Airlines for $10.25. $10.25. The next day, you could have sold American Airlines for $16.86. Yeah, $16.86 on the 26th. The next day, you could have bought it at around 10, and you could have sold it for almost 17. In one day, you could have almost doubled your money. In one day. How many know you had an opportunity? Is that not true? On the 18th, you could have bought FedEx for $91. You could have bought FedEx for $91. On the 26th, just a week later, you could have sold FedEx for $125. Let me tell you what. In this mess, there is great opportunity. Somebody say this. In this mess, there is great opportunity. I remember right after President Obama got elected, the automakers were having really, really hard times. And Ford Motor Company was down to $1 a share. $1 a share. And I thought at the time, you know what, $1 a share, that's probably a pretty good price to buy Ford at. You say, well, why didn't you buy Ford at that time? Here's why. Because there was so much talk and fear about Ford and GM and Dodge going out of business completely. They were in dire financial situation. And so, yeah, you could just give it to me. You know what? We're all at home here, right? So they were really messed up. And so even at a dollar a share, you know what, however much you buy, there was a lot of people thought they were just going to go bankrupt. And there was so much talk of it. But I thought to myself, you know what, I bet you the government isn't going to allow our automobile makers to go bankrupt. And I thought, they're just not going to allow that to happen. It's too big of a deal. Yeah. But watch this. But I thought about it, but I didn't act on it. Oh. I thought about it, but I didn't act on it. Later on, Ford, it was at $1. And when I say later on, I mean not too much later, the government came in and gave them, you know what, guaranteed loans. And they started digging themselves out, and it wasn't, you know what, maybe, I don't know, you could look it up yourself, maybe 2 or 3 years later, watch this, that Ford went from $1 to $15. Watch this. That was an opportunity. Somebody say, that's an opportunity. Look at your neighbor at home and say, that's an opportunity. if you're by yourself, look at your dog and say, that's an opportunity. Okay. But here's what I want you to catch. Those opportunities open up, but then you know what they do? Then they close up. You say, well, why couldn't you just buy Ford at 15? Because to make the same amount of money, Ford would have to go up to $300. And how many know Ford hasn't gone up to $300? Matter of fact, all that happened is Ford went up to 17, and then they went down, and then they went down, and then they went down, and you could buy it today for about $5. Here's what I'm saying. There's opportunities that we have, and the door will open. And the door will be open for so long. But listen to me, but then the door will close. Here's what I'm telling you prophetically. Here's what I'm telling you prophetically. This is a time. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, Hope Family. Listen to me, those who are looking and you haven't even come to our church. But God has called you. I told you last week, and I'll tell you this week, Tamara and I want to be your pastors. So your pastor is speaking to you, and I'm telling you something. This is a great opportunity for the body of Christ to proclaim the goodness of God to other people. For people to see that in the midst of turmoil, we are filled with joy. Guys, do you have some of those pictures in the back? Show me some of these pictures. Look at this. They can see it at home on their screen, right? Okay, so look at this. This is, have you been there? Have you experienced this? Show me some other pictures. You know what I mean? Okay, look at that. When was the last time I know Costco's crazy, but Costco's never this crazy, right? Look at that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you see that? Okay. And what are those people looking for? Tell me what they're looking for. Yeah, you know it. They're looking for toilet. Yay! They found it. This is their family found it. Okay, here's my point. Go back to the picture of all those people. Okay, now notice in that picture, you know what? I don't see no toilet paper in their stuff. What's going on? Fear is what's going on. Great fear. And in the midst of great fear, watch this, when you express joy and peace, listen, you can get people's attention. You say, yeah, but Pastor, we're doing this social distancing. And no, trust me. Even in the midst of social distancing, we still have phenomenal opportunities to minister to all kinds of people around us. I want you to open up your Bibles. I want to show it to you in your Bible. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And of course, this is part of our daily Bible reading. We're in John, so we just read this recently. But look at John chapter 4 and let's start with verse 1. Look what it says. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made the disciples, that he baptized more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now here's what I want you to catch. But he needed to go through Samaria. Say that with me. He needed to go through Samaria. Say it again, but emphasize needed. But he needed to go through Samaria. Now, let me tell you about the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They hated them passionately. There was great racial tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. And the Jews thought they were all that in a bag of chips because their bloodline, they felt like it was more pure, and they looked down at the Samaritans, and the course of the Samaritans thought, who are you to think you're more special than we? And, you know, how many know that doesn't sit right with people? And so they hated the Jews for what was going on. But the Jews would do everything that they could to avoid the Samaritans. Everything they could. And yet Jesus, with his disciples, all being Jewish, says, you know what? Let me tell you what. I need to go to Samaria. I need to do that. This isn't an option for me. Now, go ahead and go down to verse 28. Let me catch up on the story a little bit. Jesus goes to Samaria, and when he gets there, the apostles are hungry. They go into town to get something to eat. While they go into town, Jesus sits down, and he has this encounter with this lady from Samaria. And this lady, when he first starts talking to her, the lady's like, I don't even understand why you're talking to me. You're Jewish. I'm Samaritan. You know, Jews don't even talk to us. Why are you talking with me? Well, he has this conversation about the water and the well and all this. And he starts ministering to this lady. Then his apostles come back. That's where we're going to catch it up on. Verse 28. The woman left her water pots, went her way into the city, and said to the men. Here's what happened. Jesus ministers her so much, prophetically speaks a word over her. She recognized this guy something special. She runs into the city and tells all the men, you guys got to come out here and see. I think I found the Messiah. You guys got to come out here. So she runs, leaves her water pots, and the apostles now are back from their bread. Verse 28, then the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Jesus prophetically spoke over something that nobody could know, but Jesus knew. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. See, they had gotten the food. They bring it back. They knew that Jesus hadn't eaten. That's why they went, because they were hungry. And then they come back, they think, well, we're hungry. So Jesus is hungry. And they say, Jesus, let's eat. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Look at your neighbor and say, you have an opportunity. Watch this. Therefore his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Listen to me. Over and over again in the Word of God, you're going to see this. You're going to see Jesus understanding the spiritual and other people not understanding the spiritual, just talking about the physical. Do you understand that? That's part of the opportunity we have. Because right now, these people that have been very focused, and maybe it's you, maybe you've been very focused this way. You know, Christians can get this way too, that we forget about the spiritual and we start to get in the physical. And we start to just focus in the physical. Jesus is pointing them back to the spiritual. He's not talking about food. He's talking about this opportunity that has presented himself itself that he can minister to not only this young lady, but to all these other men that are going to come. Watch this. They are going to come and they're going to meet Jesus. They're going to be influenced by Jesus, and they're going to go back into their city and spread the gospel. That's why Jesus said, I must go there. I've got an opportunity. Now look what he says. He's not talking about bread. He's not talking about eating, you know what, some bread. How many like it? How many like cheese toast? You know, I love Megan because, well, I love Megan for a lot of reasons, not just this. But I love Megan because we'll be having some dinner, and right before dinner, she'll say, hey, let's make some cheese toast. I'm like, yay and amen to that. Amen. But we're not talking about cheese toast. Jesus, watch what he says in this verse, verse 32. And Jesus said to him, I have food to eat of which you do not know. You know, there's something that satisfies more than cheese toast. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Do you see where they're at? They're not, listen, they're not on the spiritual. They're just in the physical. Listen to me, I'm going to say it again. We have great opportunity. Listen, people are dying. People are scared. You know, you can act all like that in a bag of chips. But when you start to recognize, you know what? That you are going to die someday. I'll tell you what, it can very easily cause you to start to seek out God and start to recognize there's way more than just, you know what, just going to work and then going to McDonald's, you know what, to get two cheeseburgers and then run home and complain about the traffic. There's way more than life than that. And that's where people are right now. And that's the opportunity that we have to minister. Jesus had this opportunity. He knew that he was going to go to this place. Let me tell you about this woman. This woman was jacked up. You know what? She was living with this guy. She had lived with the guy before, lived with the guy before, lived with the guy before, and lived with the guy before. And all these smoozing guys, you know what, acting like, what are they acting like? Ooh, baby, you know what? I'll make you happy, baby. And you know what? Nobody's making them happy. And she wasn't happy. I believe she was miserable. You know what? Let me tell you what. I'm just telling you. I don't mean to rip on, you know, Disney films. But let me just tell you what. No man is going to make you happy. And no woman is going to make you happy. Jesus is the only one going to make you happy. And I'm not saying that marriage isn't a wonderful thing. Marriage is a wonderful thing. But you've got to keep things in perspective. Because if you think that marriage is going to make you happy, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be jacked up. You're going to be set up for a fall. Because marriage ain't going to make you happy. Jesus is going to fulfill you. And he's the only one that's going to fulfill you. And Jesus knows that this woman is going to be at the well. He knows. How does he know? Because the Spirit of God is inside him. You say, well, I wish I knew some things like that. Listen, Christian. Listen, saints. Said it. Listen, saints. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, is the same Spirit that lives inside of you. I can't tell you how many times, you know what? God has spoken to me and said, talk to this person, or it happens all the time to me. I'll just send this text to somebody. You know what? And I'll send the text to somebody, just something the Lord laid on my heart. You know what? And I'll send that text, and they'll come up to me and say, oh, Pastor, how did you know I was so, that was like everything. It was so helpful, just in the nick of time. You know how many times I've been preaching the word, and after somebody says, Pastor, how did you know? The Holy Spirit speaks to me. Listen, the word I have to speak to you today is not a good sermon. It's what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart for you to hear. And I guarantee you, if you have ears to hear, it's going to minister to you today. Here's my point. Jesus knew that this woman was going to be there. He knew that not only he needed to minister to her, he knew that she would then run into her city and these men would come out, and then these men would go back into the city, and there would be, watch this, a great outpouring of spirituality because he did one thing. That's our opportunity today. And it presents itself right in front of us. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Guys, you know what? Let's allow more than just cheese toast to satisfy us. You look at this outdoor project and the immense amount of money and work and effort. We have been working. Ask my wife. We have been working. You know what? We have had so many people. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we have had so many young men. We dug a trench that I tell you what it's amazing. It is literally from one side of the church to all the way, not just through, right through the center of the south of the outdoor project, all the way over to my office. At one side, it is over 5 feet deep. And on the other side, it's 3 feet deep. I'm telling you what, it is something. Why, Pastor, why did you do that? Here's why. And if you ask the men who did it, the young men who did it, they'll tell you. Every single one of them will tell you. You know what? That we had fun while doing it. Oh, excuse me. Not just young men, but young women do it. Amen? We had Shayla and Miranda who helped us. And they did a good job. It was amazing. We all did a good job. Here's what I'm saying. Why did you do that? Why have people been so faithful? You know what? We've raised now almost $200,000 for the outdoor project. And matter of fact, and I say this unapologetically, if you'd like to give to the outdoor project, you know what? We still have at least $150,000 that we have to raise. Well, why would you do that? Here's why. Because we have a calling on our life. And so does that mean, if that means that we don't spend every penny on ourselves, then so be it. Amen? I'm telling you what, people are driving by, people are walking by. You know what, I've talked to two people who came in the parking lot, rolled down their window, and just went like this. What did you do, Pastor? I did what I knew to do. I went over them, started talking to them, and told them what that is and what we're doing and invited them to our church. See, that's the opportunity we have. That's the calling on our life. But notice what Jesus says in verse 34. And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of those who sent me and to finish the work." Guys, we got to finish the work. We've got an opportunity. Look at our neighbor say, "We've got an opportunity." Watch this, verse 35. "Do you not say there is still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" Now let me tell you what's happening there. Jesus is busting people who've always have an excuse to, "We ain't going to do it today. We're going to do it tomorrow." Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what? I would give, but I first have to get out of debt before I give. I would serve, but yada, 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 yada. I would, but I blah, yada, yada. You know what? I'll be kind to my spouse as soon as they start, you know what, being kind to me. I'll forgive, but I would forgive, but I can't because how bad they hurt me. Oh, there's a ton of them. Amen? You know what? I'll forgive you, but I can never forget it. Can I just be straight up with you? If you say you're forgiving somebody, but you don't have a willingness to forget it, you're just a jive talker. Amen? Amen. Jesus is like, here's what you say. You say in 4 months, the harvest is going to come. But look what he says. Look what he says. "Do you not say there is still 4 months?" We got time. We can minister to people tomorrow. We can get people saved tomorrow. We can share the gospel tomorrow. We can do this tomorrow, the next day, the next week. Guys, understand, opportunity opens, the door opens for a period of time, and then the door closes. Look what he says. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, that, you know what that means? He's saying, look, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready. They are all ready. They are already white. They are already ripe for harvest. Here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say to every single person listening to this broadcast right now. Get your head up and look at the people that are walking now outside, walking their dogs now because they have all kinds of time. Get on your phone and start connecting with all these people that you know and start sharing with them that Jesus is real. Share with them that passage that I shared with you today in Psalms 34. Some of you were like, you're like, man, where was that? That was Psalms 34. Read the whole psalm. It is awesome. But that psalm is not only for you, but God is saying to us today, lift up your head and look at the fields. Because let me tell you what, it's not in 4 months that it's ripe. It's right. White was an indication that you can harvest now. Right now is the time. Right now is the time. Right. Right. Right now is the time. First point is this. We need to understand why we're here. Why are we here? We're here to minister the gospel to people who don't know the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. He's come. You know what? He came. He died on a cross. He forgives all your sin. And today is the day that you can come to Jesus Christ. That is not only for people who don't know Christ. That's for people who know Christ. Because today is still the day that we need to come to Jesus. Can somebody say amen to this? Number one, we need to understand why we're here. Number two, we need to understand our assignment. Somebody say our assignment. Look at that verse in same chapter, verse 4, chapter 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because that was his assignment. That was his assignment. Pastor Drew, what's your assignment? Well, one of my assignments is to be preaching the gospel, this word, to you today. What's another one of my assignments? Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you know what? I'm going to have an encouraging word. I'm just going to speak for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to pray with you. God has assigned me to do this. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do what God has called me to assign to do. One of my assignments, you know what, was to speak to that couple that I've seen several times, many, many times. My assignment was to give them a card last week and to invite them to the podcast. What's your assignment? What's your assignment? You have an assignment. And listen to me. The opportunity is now. But the opportunity is going to close. Look at John chapter 18. We just read this, John chapter 18. And let's start with verse 3. John chapter 18, verse 3. Then Judas, having received a dispatch of troops, the officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. We just read this. They're going to come get Jesus. Next verse. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, watch this, went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? Why is he asking them, who are you seeking? Here's why. Because he's got an assignment. Next verse. And Jesus said to him, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Watch what Jesus does. Jesus said to them, I'm he. And Judas, who betrayed him, stood with them. Next verse. Now when he had said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Boom. They're on the ground. Fell to the ground. They're on the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. See, but here's what I want you to catch. Who's initiating this? Who's initiating this? Jesus is. Then he said to them again, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Next verse. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek him, let these go their way. Here's what he's saying. He keeps, hey guys, I'm the guy. They fall back, and he's just like, boom. Why? Because he has assignment. Somebody say, I've got an assignment. See, Jesus could have been filled with fear and ran and thought, man, I'm getting out of here. They're going to come kill me. You know what? They could come to him, and Jesus says, I don't know where Jesus is. I don't even know who he is. And he could have lied to them and leaves, but he doesn't. He comes straight forward and says, let me tell you what, I'm Jesus. Why? Because he had an assignment. And even when they fall back, I believe the power of the Holy Spirit just knocks them all onto the ground. Jesus reminds them, hey, guys, remember what you were here to do? Amazing. Turn to John chapter 4. Let's stay there for just 1 minute. John chapter 4. Look at verse 33. Therefore his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Now look what he says. And Jesus said to them, my food is due to do the will of him sent me and to finish the work. Those men are coming to get Jesus. He's at this point, he's healed all kinds of people. He's ministered to the 12 apostles. You know what? He has fed the 5,000. He has raised Lazarus from the dead. He's done all this stuff. And you know what? But has he finished the work? No, you got to finish the work, guys. Listen, at Hope, we've done some great, awesome things. But now is not the time for us to sit back and say, you know what? Oh, let's just rest a little while. Now is not the time to rest. Jesus says, you know what? I only have, in the day I can work, but the night is coming, and the night is coming that we can't work anymore. The door is going to close. And when the door is closed, you know what? You say, oh, I can't wait. We get to heaven. You know what? I'm going to preach the gospel. What? I mean, listen, we will declare the goodness of God forever and ever and ever. But when we get to heaven, there is going to be no one who needs to get saved. There's going to be no one who needs to be introduced to Jesus for the first time. Why? Because that door will be closed. Now is the time that we have to share with people, to love people, to get to call people up, to text them, to tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. You say, well, yeah, but maybe they won't like me. Who cares? Get over yourself. Stop taking selfies and start to recognize the goodness of God in your life. Get over yourself. You know what? You know how you defeat Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And watch this, the third thing, and they didn't care about their lives. The Bible says in the end days, men would become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. We need to be lovers of God rather than lovers of self. We need to get over ourselves and stop caring about what people are going to think. The other day, again, a gentleman. And you know what? Seen him over and over and over again. Matter of fact, he's such a great testimony. Because when I first started him jogging, he was very, very large man. And he'd be out there week after week, all the time I would see him jogging. And I thought, you know what? This guy's awesome. You know what? Making a difference. Going to make a difference in his life. And so, you know what? And he has lost so much weight. He's just inspiring to me, to be honest with you. I don't even know him. Guess what? I met him this week. What'd you do? I saw him jogging. And I stopped and I rolled down. I was in the church van. I rolled down the van and I just said, hey, how you doing? Can I tell you what? You want to start a conversation with people now? You just ask them, hey, how you doing? Listen, have you noticed this? People are nicer now. Have you noticed this? They smile more. What's going on? And listen, seize the opportunity. There's an opportunity we have. I said, hey, I just want to know, how you doing? I see you all the time. I just want to know how you're doing. He says, I'm doing good. How you doing? I said, oh, we're doing good. Me and my family are doing good. I said, I don't know how spiritual or religious you are. You know what? But you probably see the church van parked, you know what, in front on the street all the time. You know what? And he says, well, I'm Catholic. You know what? So I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? And he smiled. And I said, well, I started doing this broadcast, a devotional, every morning at 10 o'clock. And we're also broadcasting our Sunday morning services and our Wednesday services. And I said, and I give him a card, and I said, hey, I just want to invite you to be part of that if you'd like. And he said, thank you. And I said, what do you do? And he said, some kind of lawyer, I forget. But watch this, we just connected. And then he said, we have two beautiful dogs now. They stay in the front, and they just look gorgeous. You know what? Ryder and Riley. And he said, your dogs are beautiful. And I said, thank you. He said, Pastor, you know, did you lead them to the Lord? Not yet. Not yet. But I started a conversation with him. You know how many times I've seen that man and just waved to him? I'm not waving no more to people. Amen. I'm talking to people. And I'm not, listen, and there's nothing, I'm not talking about the Lakers. I'm not talking about the Knicks or the Bucks or, you know what, or the Dodgers or the Angels or, you know what I mean? Not that there's anything wrong with any of those teams. But I'm not talking to them about that. I'm talking to them about Jesus. Amen. Why? Because that's the opportunity we have.
That's right.
Now, I want to share with you, hey, nobody's falling asleep, right? You're not falling asleep, are you? No sleeping, amen? Just checking. If somebody in your family is sleeping, just shake them right now, okay? I want to turn to one more passage because this is so powerful. Turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And let's start in the first verse. Look what it says. John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind. This guy's blind. Watch this. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? They believed at that point in time, many of the Jewish people believed that if you, like this guy was born blind, that if you had sickness, that was indication that you had sinned. Well, this man was born blind, so they're asking, we don't understand, because he was born that way. Was it him, or was it his parents? Next verse, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Somebody say, opportunity. Next verse. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Guys, opportunity. That opportunity is going to close, and we have a great opportunity right now. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So Pastor, why did God have him spit on the ground? Here, let me give you the theological answer. I don't know. Here's all I know. Do what God says to do. Next verse. Therefore the neighbors and those who had previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this the man who sat and begged? See, watch this. They're seeing this guy running around. He can see now. And they're scratching their heads and saying, wait a minute. This looks like the guy who used to beg all the time. Some said, it's he. Others said, no, that's not him. It just looks like him. He said, no, I am him. I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus. Guys, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. Then they said to him, where is he? Where's Jesus? And he says, I don't know. Then they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. They take the guy, bring him to the Pharisees. Next verse. Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Can I tell you what? Jesus didn't care to do what was good on the Sabbath. How many know it's always good to do the right thing? Okay, next verse. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Notice this. Others said, everybody say others said. What's my point? They're not saying the same thing. Some think it's okay, he's from God. Others think he's not from God. Watch this. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Somebody say, a division among them. Next verse. They said, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, I don't know, he's a prophet? This guy, and the reason I say that is because later on, he's really not sure what's going on. Here's what he knows. He was blind, and now he sees. He's going to say that in a minute. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received. Notice, they didn't believe, but when they talked to his parents, they did believe. So they call his parents. Next verse. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who was born blind? How then can he see? Listen, I can't tell you how crazy, selfish people get born again and become loving, tender, kind, generous people. I can't explain it. I can't explain it, but I can obtain it. Jesus, your love is so, it's so, come on at home, you know the words, amazing. It is amazing. I can't explain it. They're trying to ask his parents, how did this happen? They're like, I don't know. His parents answered them and said, we know that, here's what we know, that is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confesses that Jesus is Christ, they would be put out of the synagogue. Wow. Next verse. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind. Okay. You're back up on the witness stand again. And said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Now they're starting to turn on him. Watch this. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner, they're talking about Jesus, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. Remember, some man called Jesus. I don't know who he was. I don't know. One thing, this is so awesome. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Can I tell you what? Everyone has that opportunity today to see. If you will submit to Jesus Christ, if you allow him in your heart, and maybe you're already Christian, but maybe you're getting cold towards the things of God, you need to open up your heart to him today. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? He had already told them. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I love this part. Listen. Now he's going to start being a little sarcastic to them. He said to them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? So good. Now they're going to push back. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. See the pride? Next verse. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Next verse. The man said, we don't know where he's from. Where are you from? We don't know where he's from. Jesus answered and said to them, the man answered and said to them, I love his response. Why this is a marvelous thing. Who cares where he's from? He healed me from blindness. You want to know where he's from. That you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Wow. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who's blind. Guys, get the point. God does supernatural things in people's lives. Can God do supernatural things in our lives? Absolutely he can. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The proof's in the pudding, guys. They answered and said to him, you were completely born. Listen what they accuse him for. That comes from that belief. You're born blind because you are complete. Your parents were sinners and you were completely born. You were completely born in sins. And you're teaching us, you're telling us what's important. And they cast him out. Now listen, watch this. I said all that to get to here. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he? Lord, watch this. Keep it right here. That I may believe. Listen to me. Let me say opportunity. When people are hurting, when people have no way out, when Costco is running out of toilet paper, you know what? When when there seems to be no hope, men will start to raise up their head and look into the skies for a real Savior. That is our opportunity, church. And it's right here before us. This man was so jacked up, begging every day. And now he's not begging anymore. And Jesus presents himself to him. Look what his answer is. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Those people are all around you right now, right now. Next verse. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is talking to you now. Look at this. And he said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You know, people can change their life in one day. People can change their life in a 5-minute conversation. God is real, folks. And we need to not care about our lives, but we need to just get the gospel out and start preaching that Jesus is the only way out. Let me tell you something. Everyone is going to die.
That's right.
Everyone is going to die. And everyone is going to sit before Jesus Christ. And everyone is going to give an account to their life. And the main thing they're going to give an account is, did you believe in the Son of God? Did you believe that Jesus Christ sent his Son? Or did you just reject him, reject him, reject him, and just live a life of selfishness where it was all about you? What did you do? Because everyone has an opportunity, and we have an opportunity today. We have an opportunity this week. Because look up, lift up your head and look at the fields. It's not in a month. It's not in 2 months. It's not in 3 months. It's not in 4 months. The opportunity we have is right now. And he worshiped him. Now, you got some time? Yeah, you do. You got some time? Yeah, we do. Amen. I really haven't even gotten to the best part yet. Watch this. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, and those who did not see may see, that those who see may be made blind. Watch this. Watch this. This is such a great voice. This is such a great voice. This is such a great voice. Verse. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard his words. Remember, Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Recognizing that in the midst of thousands of people that he talked to, there would be people who heard what he said, but never heard what he said. And he says, he who has an ear to hear, a tenderness toward God, hear what I'm saying, because I'm speaking to you. Then some of the Pharisees who, listen to this, heard these words, said to him, look what they said, we are blind. Are you catching this? There is this opening that Jesus sees. He not only is going to minister to this blind man, that has just got done worshiping him. But there's a bigger picture. That gentleman that I handed a card to that might be listening even right now. Maybe God's assignment to me was to minister to him, that he could then, you know what, recognize the goodness of God and then minister to all kinds of other people, you know what, that are around him. Somebody say opportunity. Somebody say assignment. Then some of the Pharisees, here's what they said. They said, we're blind. Now, let's skip because we need to skip a little bit. Skip to, where do I want to go next, guys? I want to go to, guys in the back, help me out. Yeah, that's where I wanted to go to. Did I want to go there? Yeah, that's where I want to go. No, I don't want to go there. Then Jesus, yeah, that's where I want to go. Thank you, guys. Then Jesus starts to talk about something very, very, one of the most famous passages in all the New Testament. Here's what he says in John 10, verse 17. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. Now he's talking to these Pharisees, and he's saying, hey guys, you thought all this religious stuff was going to get you saved? You thought the sacrifice of animals was going to get you saved? That's not the door. I'm the door to Jesus. Watch this. Next verse. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. All these people who thought you're going to worship them and do what they said. These people are phonies. But the sheep did not hear them. Guys, you're sheep. These other people were phonies, and you followed them. But I'm the door. Next verse. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Watch this. Oh, this is so good. And will go in and out and find what? Pasture. What is that? Well, to a sheep, pasture is their provision. They're going to go in and out. They're going to have a relationship with God, and they're going to find pasture. In this world of craziness, you start to preach the gospel, they're going to find out that Jesus is the door, and they're going to all of a sudden, their whole life is going to turn around. And the frustration and the bitterness and the emptiness that they feel is now going to be completely full. Amen. Next verse. The thief doesn't come except to steal. Famous. The thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and this abundance of life. Next verse. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, let's. See, sometimes we take stuff out of context. Is that a great passage? It's a great passage. But put it back in context. In context, he just got this guy who couldn't see to see, and then these Pharisees are arguing with him back and forth, but some of the Pharisees are scratching their head and going, yeah, but this is the guy. We talked to his parents, and his parents verified this is it, our son. And how can we argue? And some of these Pharisees are going, yeah, but he did it on a Sabbath. But a bunch of them are saying, yeah, but who cares? He can see. What's the next verse I want to go to? Oh, yeah. Chapter 19. No. Go to 19. Go to 19. This is the second whammy. Therefore, there was division among the Jews. What's division? Well, we'll read it. Because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? This guy is working on the Sabbath. He's got a demon. He's demonic. Watch this. And others said, guys, there are these others, and they're all around you. And right now, you have the opportunity to share the love of Christ to these people. And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind man? Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I said, Pastor, what's your point? My point is that these are Pharisees. These are people who in the past were not open to Jesus being the Messiah. But Jesus, seeing the opportunity to minister to one man, somebody say one man, gets that man saved, gets that man to worship him, right? And then ministers to all these other people. Our last scripture is in John, or Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Who is the light of the world? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But watch what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt. Now this is Jesus speaking to the apostles, but I believe this is Jesus also speaking to us. You and me speaking, Jesus speaking to those of you who are watching at home. You know what you are? You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, if the salt says, nah, we'll do it tomorrow, we'll do it the next day. We can get the outdoor project done later. We can minister to people later. We can text them later. We don't want to make anybody uncomfortable about saying, talking about Jesus. Well, listen, if I have to make, you know what, 30 people uncomfortable that I can get 5 people saved, so be it. Amen. Jesus, listen, when you talk about Jesus, people are going to get uncomfortable when you look at them in the eye and say, listen, God came. And you need to be responsible to accept Jesus Christ. It's going to make the people who want to reject him uncomfortable. So be it. So be it. You be responsible. You step up to the plate and recognize your assignment. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, if you're not willing to say anything, if you're not willing to do anything, if all you want to do is live some Christian comfortable life, that all you do is just hear the word and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, but you never, listen, the word is given to you that you might be able to give it to others. You are blessed in order to bless somebody else. Freely you have received, now you freely give. How can it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You know, this is so sad. This is so sad. But I need to be honest. There's people who come to church and they've been to church for years and they'll come and for whatever reason, they'll get mad at me and they'll leave. Or get mad at somebody else in the church or come up with a reason why we're not perfect. Hey, you know, welcome to reality. Here, I'll tell you right up front. We are not perfect at Hope Community Church. If you're looking for a perfect church, you have not found it. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you have not found it. Amen? Do me a favor. Don't put a halo on my head and start going, oh, pastor's so awesome. Listen, praise God. I thank God for the abilities that he's given me. But don't put me under that kind of bondage because I'm not perfect. But can I tell you what? I know the one who is, and his name is Jesus Christ. But we have people, and they come in, and they get offended, and they leave. And the church, listen, and the church doesn't skip a beat because they were doing nothing when they were here, and so they leave. And it doesn't make any difference because they never did anything. They were good, guys. They were good. They were good for nothing. And it is then good for nothing. If you're not willing to be salt, seasoned, it just thrown away and trampled. It's just nothing. Watch this next verse. You are the light of the world. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Amen. Have you ever been so black, so dark outside, but the moon is full? You ever seen this? And if you look at it, if you look at it long enough, you could recognize the moon isn't, it has no radiance in itself. all the moon is doing, all you're seeing, you can see it sometimes when it's not a full moon, when it's a partial moon. You can see it. It's just a reflection of the sun on the other side of the universe. That's what we are. We're a reflection of Jesus. But can I tell you what? In darkness, how many know the moon, if the moon is bright, you know what you can do? You can see outside. Because the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. That's what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Guys, I hope this message has come with no condemnation. If there's correction that you needed to be corrected, then make the correction. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say one thing. Seize the opportunity that you have today. Seize the opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity that we have. Because it's day. But the night is coming. When we can't minister to anybody. Because it'll be done. Even in this pandemic. There's great opportunity. Because people are humble. You know what? I mean, 3 weeks ago, I'd say hi to somebody. They don't even notice you're there. They won't even, you know what I mean? Now it's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing good. You know what I mean? There's all this receptivity. And part of that receptivity is, hey, could it be what we looked at last week in Romans, that God can work all things out for good of those who love him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know why God sent his son? Because he loved the world so much. Could God use this mess? Could God use this mess to see all kinds of people come to the knowledge of Christ, come to his son, come into the family? I believe he could. What's your assignment? Who are you called to minister to? Who are you called to call? Who you called to text? Who you called to stop on their walk and give them a card? Talk about what Jesus Christ has done in their life. I want you right where you are. If you can't get on your knees, I understand. But if you can, I want you to get on your knees. I believe we need to repent. Maybe we got too busy eating hot dogs and going to ball games and Pastor, is there anything wrong? There's nothing wrong with eating hot dogs. Well, actually, there is a little something wrong with, but that's a different sermon. I'm just saying, could we have gotten too caught up with that which is not really important? If that's you, I want you to, on your knees, I want you to raise up your hands right now and say, Pastor, you're talking about me. Yeah, but my kids will see my hands up. Great. Start being real in front of your kids. Stop thinking you have to play some religious con job. And get real. Raise up your hands. I want to lead you. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I need your help. I'm sorry for the times that I haven't paid attention to all kinds of people that are hurting around me. May I seize the opportunity to minister, to be a light in a very dark place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, one more thing. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, maybe you're not even a Christian. Today's your day. Not tomorrow, not in 4 months. Today. Just say this prayer with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We believe if you said that prayer, that you got born again. You know what? Start to, we're going to be meeting here again real soon. But until then, start to listen to our podcast every morning at 10 o'clock. Start to watch us Sunday and Wednesday. You can still call the church. If you want prayer, call the church. I'm praying with people every single morning at 10 o'clock. I do a short devotional, but after the devotional, I'll pray with you. We still have people that want to pray with you. We want to connect with you. If that's you, then you connect with us.